on the party line, the Monticello party line, with Sarah and Maggie and Laurie and Paul, and Tuttle and Curly, Louisa and all. Each morning at your radio, all your good friends are saying hello. From Texas to Maine, our great friendship chain. We're friends on the party line.
Your ring, party liners. Time to take down receivers all along the friendly party line from coast to coast. The other day, out at Clem and Aggie Tuttle's house on the far side of town, Clem had one of his minor defections catch up with him. Aggie, intent on making crabapple jelly, suddenly remembered something.
Clem, it just come over me.
My dear, was you addressing me?
I just now remembered something I've been meaning to speak to you about from the church social last week.
Catch on. I thought we hashed that over good.
Not this we didn't. Clem, I just remembered how ashamed I was of you that night.
Agatha, I'm sorry your memory improved. Now, what did I do?
You remember, Clem, when that new fat lady, Mrs. Hemble, had such a hard time getting up out of a tight chair.
Yeah, I was Johnny on the spot to heave the old tub onto her feet. Wee, you, that was an engineering job, too.
Clem, I just thought I would have sunk through the floor the way you yanked that poor soul. Why, the both of you pretty near tumbled down and you jerked her up so fast.
Oh.
I was so ashamed, I could have gone up in smoke.
Ashamed, my dear Agatha. I was only trying to help the woman.
Well, that may be, but you sure didn't have to help her so rough.
And there's a moral for you, if you'll pardon me for pointing it out. Of course, Clem did the lady no harm by helping her with such enthusiasm, but there are times when another kind of rough help in the time of need can not only be upsetting, but very, very unwise. How often have you felt worse instead of better when some harsh cathartic has, to use Aggie's words, helped you so rough? How many times have you suffered a dull headache, weariness, simply because harsh, unfriendly cathartics had given you such rough help that you would rather suffer than go through that experience again? You don't have to suffer like that anymore. When you feel tired and dull and listless, when you're cross and irritable and need a laxative, then try Syrup Pepsin. Dr. Caldwell's Syrup Pepsin combined with laxative center compound. You'll probably feel better the very minute you taste a spoonful of this delicious, refreshing liquid, because it seems to promise just the mild, gentle help, the relief that you need. And thousands of people could tell you that Syrup Pepsin keeps that promise. You can get a bottle at your own drugstore. Just ask for Syrup Pepsin. It's spelled S-Y-R-U-P, Syrup, P-E-P-S-I-N, Pepsin. Dr. Caldwell's Syrup Pepsin. We go back now to the scene in the old-fashioned house not far from the square where Marilyn Owens is talking to Jack Owens, her husband, who has reappeared after having deserted her, and her small daughter Kitty. Nothing was heard from him until just this bright day when Marilyn, her brother Carlton, and Kitty were preparing to join our other party line friends on a picnic. Jack appeared suddenly, found Marilyn alone for a moment, and persuaded her to make an excuse for staying home from the picnic so that he could talk to her. When the others were gone, he told her a shocking story of how a week ago he had killed a man. He'd been driving home from a roadhouse, he said, when he ran into an old man and drove on without stopping. Now, Jack wants Marilyn to get $1,000 for him so that he can go away before the police find him. If she refuses, he has threatened to end his own life. Marilyn, dazed, bewildered, and completely crushed by his story and his peculiarly nonchalant attitude toward the whole situation, is saying,
"Even if I thought I ought to get it for you, where would I go to get $1,000?
My dear, I told you. Highly respectable, solid citizens like you and your brother ought to be able to scare up 10 times $1,000 in no time.
I don't want Carlton to know about this. He's had enough of our troubles to worry about.
Oh, of course, but you can get him to find the money for you without explaining what it's for. Tell him it's for a friend.
I've never lied to my brother about anything in my life, and I won't do it now.
Well, in the first place, it's not entirely a lie. Except that you probably won't admit I'm a friend of yours. Tell him you want the money for an acquaintance, if you like that better. Anything to get it. Unless, of course, you'd like to do your bit to rid the world of a useless citizen. By refusing to get it for me?
I could have believed almost anything else of you, Jack.
What?
After that first time you lied to me about that Harding girl. Nothing that you did after that really shocked me again. Not all the times you left me. Not all the cruel and horrible things you said to me. But today, you appear out of nowhere, after I haven't seen you for 10 months. And you tell me you've killed a man. And you want me to lie to my brother to get $1,000 so you can run away from a punishment you deserve.
That, in brief and unsympathetic terms, is my story.
Why should I help you? Why should I even listen to you? How can you bring yourself to face me? To ask such a thing of me? What kind of a man are you, Jack, that you wouldn't rather hang than come to me like this?
Marilyn.
Well?
Did it ever occur to you that I love you?
Oh, Jack, don't make yourself ridiculous.
That I love you as I always have? Love you and admire you and trust you above anyone else in the world. And that, well, now when I'm in serious trouble, I come to you instinctively without stopping to ask myself if I have any right to come here.
Once, Jack, that speech might have affected me. But that's all over and done with. Thank heaven for that.
Oh. Well, of course, I hadn't hoped there would be a shred of your old feeling left for me after all this time.
There was until this morning.
Marilyn!
Until this morning. There was a feeling left from those old days when I first knew you. Something I thought I'd never get over, like a poison your system can't throw off.
Well, not a very pleasant way to express it.
And then you appeared. You told me this awful story about having run down an old man and leaving him to die in the street. And you told it as if it was something that hadn't happened to you at all. And that finished everything forever. Because that poor old man died like that, I've been set free at last. You'll never, never be able to reach me again, Jack, with any beautiful speeches or any of your charming smiles. I'm free of you at last.
Marilyn, if it weren't true, if I hadn't killed that old fellow...
Oh.
What's that? Your doorbell? Well, who is it?
I don't know. I can't imagine who'd be coming here now. Everyone we know in town is at the picnic.
Well, don't answer it.
I have to. You wait here. I'll go see who it is.
Nothing doing. I'm not going to take any chances on having to meet any of the good villagers. What does this door lead to?
To Carlton's study. You can go through that, out to the hall and back to the kitchen. I'll be right back, though. I'll tell whoever it is that I've got a headache.
You mind if I find myself a snack or something in the icebox?
Why, Miss Witherspoon.
Well, it's a lucky thing for you, young woman, that you got through the door just when you did.
Well, I'm so sorry to have kept you waiting.
I was just going to walk over to the doctor's and have him bring an ambulance for you. Thought you must have fainted.
Oh, dear, no. Won't you come in?
Certainly I'll come in. Did you think I came all the way across half of this town just to stand and chat on your front porch? The idea.
Well, I should hope not.
Just a minute now till I knock down my parasol. Phew, sun's hot today, even if it is late in the season.
Yes, it does look warm outside. Such a lovely day for the picnic, too. Oh, why, I thought you were going to the picnic, Miss Witherspoon.
Oh, thought so myself, but I changed my mind last night. Just got a hunch I hadn't ought to go. Here this morning I stopped your brother when he was driving by with your little girl and Jimmy Miller, and he told me you weren't well enough to go to the picnic, and he was mighty worried about you. Say, why aren't you upstairs laying down resting right now?
Well, I just thought...
Mm-hmm. You just thought you'd get some housework done, I suppose. High time I got over here. Now I'm going back to the kitchen and make you some...
Oh, no. No, I should say not. I couldn't eat a thing.
Marilyn, you're going to mind me now. You go in and set yourself down in the living room where it's shady and cool and I'll...
Oh, please, won't you come in here with me, Miss Witherspoon? I just wish that...
I just wish you'd stop calling me Miss Witherspoon. You'd think I was a teetotal stranger. Here, you've been living in this town for almost 5 months. Call me Wilhelmina, Aunt Willie, or anything you want that hasn't got a miss tied onto it. You hear?
Yes, Aunt Willie, I do. And I will call you Aunt Willie. I've always wanted to, anyway.
Well, that sounds better. What in the 20th century...
What is it?
I thought I smelled smoke when I came in here. My grandfather's portrait, the place is black with it.
Oh, is it? Well, I'm sorry. I guess I should have aired the house out.
You shouldn't smoke, if you ask me, when you've got a headache.
Oh, I never smoke at all. That is, I...
You never smoke. That's what I thought.
Well, that is, sometimes I...
You mean you were smoking just now?
Well, no, I... I guess maybe Carlton was in here just before he left this morning.
Mm-hmm. That's so. When did he leave? I saw him about 45 minutes ago, and he left here 3 or 4 minutes before that.
Yes, I suppose so. Look, Aunt Willie, those are some homemade bonbons in that dish. Won't you have...
Just a minute. I was wondering. Isn't it kind of a funny thing? Look at that end of a cigarette in this here ashtray. There's hardly any ash on it. And it's burning full blast.
Well...
Now, I'd say that cigarette was put down here by whoever was smoking it just a second or two before I walked into this house.
Well, I guess you caught me, Aunt Willie. Aunt Willie, come here, please.
Oh, I have I? What is it? Who's in this house?
Yes, I'm afraid you have. I'll write it to you. Just a minute. Keep talking.
Oh, so you'll admit I caught you in the midst of smoking a cigarette when you were supposed to be staying home with a bad headache. Well,
I just wanted a day to myself, Aunt Willie, that's all. I'll find a piece of paper in the desk here. Just a minute.
Well, I can't say I blame you. There are times when a person feels like he just didn't want anybody around at all. I think I understand just how you feel.
Oh, I knew you'd understand, Aunt Willie. That's why I'm going to tell you all this.
What a strange situation this is now. Little old Wilhelmina Witherspoon certainly walked in on a drama of human emotions. And it didn't take her long to do a little detective work. Do you suppose she suspected that something was wrong at Marilyn's house? Or did the burning cigarette give her the first hint that Marilyn was not telling the truth about staying at home because she had a headache? What will Marilyn tell her? Will Jack Owens decide to walk in on them and bluff out his presence in Marilyn's house? We'll certainly all want to hear what happens now that Wilhelmina has entered the scene. Wilhelmina Witherspoon, aged 85... Well, aged something impressive anyway. Wilhelmina, who has one of the quickest tongues and warmest hearts in all of Piatt County. You just wait and see if she doesn't make the sparks fly. Before we hang up on the line today, remember what we said before about the difference between gentle help and rough help? Partyliners who know about syrup Pepsin just can't see the sense of harsh, unfriendly cathartics that may, true enough, give you some kind of help, but a rough and jolty kind. They're through with that kind of thing. Instead, when they need relief, they insist on the gentle, easy kind of relief that syrup Pepsin gives. The name is syrup Pepsin. Dr. Caldwell's syrup Pepsin comes in a big, generous bottle, regular and extra big family sizes. It tastes refreshing and delicious. It gives gentle, effective relief as nature gets back to work. It is, in other words, just the kind of friendly, reliable help that everybody in the family will appreciate. Don't tolerate rough help, please. Get Dr. Caldwell's syrup Pepsin and get gentle help, as easygoing as it is thorough. Don't forget syrup Pepsin. It's spelled S-Y-R-U-P, syrup, P-E-P-S-I-N, Pepsin. Dr. Caldwell's syrup Pepsin. See you all tomorrow when we'll hear what Aunt Willie does about the tense and tragic situation in which Marilyn Owens finds herself. Tomorrow on The Party Line.